RSN 927. Winners with Nadia Horn.
And today, Fast 12, let's review some of the trot action from the weekend and what a fantastic weekend we had with Group 1 action centering around the meeting at Ballarat with the running of the Cup, also heats of the Derby, and they had the trot, Cochrane Trotters Cup as well. Blake, it was a fantastic meeting as always, and it delivered what it promised.
Yeah, indeed. It was obviously that the gloss was taken off the Cup to a tiny degree with Vincent coming out during the week, but it was still a really fine race, and it played out on the track with a close finish and a worthy winner. So plenty going on. It kicked off with a bang, of course, with the Derby heats, the first heat early on the card, and then it just rolled through and went right through the night. So, yeah, as you say, it was a great card as per usual. Ballarat put on a terrific show and got the results they deserved.
Well, the first race was the opening heat of the Victoria Derby, and this was a cracking heat. And Poster Boy, they raised the bar and put him in a pretty good race. And, gee, he's keeps on improving.
He does. It was a phenomenal effort, really, from Poster Boy. Otherworldly, really. Mind-boggling, I guess you'd have to say, based on what we saw. I mean, we knew he was a very good two-year-old, of course. He was arguably the best two-year-old in Australia. I think Lumini won that title. Poster Boy won the title of best two-year-old in Victoria, so there was not a lot between them, I guess, last season. Even Lumineer not racing through the end of the season, Poster Boy doing the same, but or getting through the season. The story of the race really was Colt 31. He was able to find the lead through the early and middle stages. He set his own tempo. They went quick enough early, cause and change, wanted to hold the early challenge from out wider, but then allowed Colt 31 to roll to the front. And from there, the favourite, the heavily backed favourite, Colt 31, was able to set his own tempo, ran through a second quarter of 31.3, and his third quarter was surprisingly slow, 30.5, and then he ripped home in 26.6. I guess in hindsight, he may have been able to sort of try and get Poster Boy a little bit further off the bit around that final bend and run a quicker third quarter. It didn't eventuate, but Colt 31, look, he stuck on okay, but was beaten by Poster Boy, who was three wide. With a card up, he came from a long way off him. His last quarter would have been sub 26 seconds, you'd have to say. It was a phenomenal effort, really, to reel him in. He only just got him on the line, but it was his first time back in the big leagues, I guess you say, at three. He had a couple of soft wins, but that certainly set the scene for what is going to be a great Derby, and particularly the barrier draw will play a role. Now, Colt 31, I think probably, obviously being heavily backed, he was certainly expected to be really competitive. The gloss may have come off to some degree heading into a Derby final. It's hard to see him turning the tables unless everything goes right for him, but he's still thereabouts. The Devil's Own was the other one that was three wide, no cover. He was only beaten a couple of metres. First run in Victoria, expect him to improve, and I think he's right up to his ears in the Derby final if he gets a little bit of luck. Cause and Change was first run in Victoria for Emma Stewart was quite okay from behind the leader, held ground all the way up the straight. Ivan and Eagle made a little bit of ground. Outside of those, not a lot to report. Of course, the others won't make the Derby final anyway, but it was a very strong, if not a very quick last quarter, and I think there's probably the barrier draw will be the story of the Derby final, but Poster Boy stamped himself back to his absolute best.
Definitely. We had one of the heats of the VicRed Platinum Trotting Mare Sprint Championship, and the favourite was able to win this heat, the mare, Margaret Ruth.
She was. She was able to posse up early. That was probably the telling tale in the end. Plumbers Petty Cash with Chris Alford on. She always goes terrific for Chris Alford, and that was the case again. She was able to spear the lead over the sprint trip. She was always going to give a sight, and she did so. She got them sort of to halfway up the lane before Margaret Ruth from the 1-1 was able to descend, and she was too strong. Derriere came from off speed and ran a really good closing race behind Margaret Ruth. This, of course, being a heat of a sprint championship series, so you expect them to clash again going forward into the final of that series. Truscott Law, at massive odds, was quite a good run into third, and outside of those, 9 Mile Cruiser having to sit parked probably wasn't ideal and can be forgiven to some degree, and a couple of others were never in the race making mistakes, so you can, again, put a line through a few from behind 9 Mile Cruiser, but Margaret Ruth, she's always been a really smart mare. Obviously, starting odds on, the punters knew she was going to be hard to beat, but her last 50 metres, as per standard, was her strongest, and she did a terrific job to get the job done.
And then we go to the third. This was won by Tough Call. It was a really good betting duel here between runners who finished first, second and third.
Yeah, it was. There was good money for all of them at different stages. Probably tough call, the most well-backed late, and based on their heat runs, you can understand why. He'd been going terrifically well without much luck. Matty Craven jumped aboard, and there was a good early burn. Beach Garden, Love You Moves, they were all up there early, spending petrol, I guess you'd say. Beach Garden was able to find the front. Love You Moves ended up behind the leader. The tough call was the one that was probably well driven after a 28-6 first quarter. Matty Craven was able to rip around in the slowest quarter of the race and get to the breeze. Beach Garden shot away before the bend and into the straight and looked the winner for a number of strides, but tough call probably just balancing up around that final quarter. Once he got into the straight, he really lifted. He's only a six-year-old. He's pretty lightly raced, but he was terrific. Again, being only a C1 race, you're not going to set too lofty a target for him, but I think he'll really race for his classes. It was a $10,000 final. I'm expecting better from him. So the effort he produced to get the job done was very strong. Beach Garden, she spent some petrol early, as I said. She was she booted away at the top of the bend. She was only just run down, so she's ready to win when she finds her right race. Love You Moves was okay, and probably not a whole lot to report from those runners out the back. It was going to be hard to get into it the way the race was running with the good horses up front. So a few forgive efforts, but tough calls the horse that I think will go on to better things.
We look at race four now. This was won by the short price favourite for Emma Stewart and Chris Alford in All the Breeze.
Yeah, it was. Coming from off speed again, a final of the series. So we'd seen them all compete around each other, and for that reason, All the Breeze at $1.30 was probably expected to get the job done. Mernion is away was your early leader from the pole marking draw with the scratching and was able to hold up and went through the first and second quarter of the final mile in a pretty comfortable sort of tempo, 29.9, then 29.4. Tried to up the ante through that third quarter, but couldn't really, got away from them probably at the top of the straight, but All the Breeze was always bearing down, and he was able to race past Mernyong as away and clear right out Aussie Bogan in third. Shyla wasn't a bad run. They both ran on well, Aussie Bogan and Shyla. Vasari was I guess a little bit disappointing in terms of market expectation. Didn't find a lot up the straight and probably back to the drawing board there, but All the Breeze was a good winner. I think, obviously, class of race being a CO compared to the previous race, I still think Tough Call's probably the most progressive out of the C-class races on the night, but All the Breeze couldn't have done much more than what he did.
And then we go to one of the features, the Group 2 Cochrane Trotters Cup, and a bit of a shock here with My Tribeca just over the odds-on favourite Sparkling Success.
Yeah, it was, and it was the drive that won the race. Nathan Jack able to squeeze down onto the leaders back early. Vincenz from the pole, from the middle of the front row, to be able to do that. It was a terrific drive. The inside of the second row horse couldn't quite keep up fabrication, and for that reason, My Tribeca was able to drop in. She'd been going really well. She can be tough to follow at times. Of course, she galloped late in a free-for-all a couple of starts ago when she lost on protest but won the race when they went past the post. So you knew she was going well. Her Geelong Trotters Cup win was really strong a handful of starts ago. And when she got that right running behind Vincenz, she certainly was no longer a 20-1 chance, you'd have to say. But Sparkling Success, he sort of worked around mid-race, was able to control the race from the breeze. They went pretty slow fractions through that first and second quarter of the final mile, 31-6, 31-1. I think if we learn anything, it's perhaps that maybe his staying prowess wasn't able to come to the fore because it was a sprinting finish. We saw, despite them running time the whole way, it was more of a staying effort the week before in the Maori Mile, even over the sprint trip, this over the middle distance. But it was this was a real sit-sprint type affair, and for that reason, he was just outpointed late by My Tribeca, who is a noted sit-sprinter. I wouldn't be surprised if he was the one trying to make it a staying effort in the Great Southern Star this week, and for that reason, I think he'll probably be a bit better suited than he was on the weekend. But take nothing away from My Tribeca, because she's been a horse that's had rare ability for a long time, and she might just be starting to put it together at the right time. So they both go into the Great Southern Star. Vincenz, again, his run was quite sound. He's a horse that he could be the forgotten horse heading into a race of that stature, and if he gets the right run, I wouldn't totally count him out. From the rest, probably not a lot to take out of it. The Boss Man was okay, and he'll probably be better suited to the staying troop next week, but I just question whether he's in the form that he was last season. But certainly the top three, the big three right here, right now, heading into the Great Southern Star, along with Red Hot Tooth, who wasn't there, but she'll emerge as well, and then you'll have horses coming from everywhere, New Zealand and New South Wales and co. But probably a good form reference this for next week's Race Southern Star.
Exactly. Let's go to Ballarat. Here's race one.
It's just over 28 degrees here at Ballarat for the day's racing as we welcome Nadia on RSN 927 and relays. They're about to get set now for the first on the card. Number seven is the only late scratching for the day that I'm aware of. That's Wally Bravio here in the first. Came out just afternoon, as said earlier on, but it is classed as a late scratching. This was after the 4 o'clock deadline yesterday. Coming in out, short price favourite here in the first. Redcliffe Rebel number 8, 210 fixed, 420 number 5 Murdon, 6 Pepperade, 4 even. First on the card. Ballarat, they're getting set. In fact, they're already boxed and set to go. About to run. All in. Set racing now. Slater Bevet, Miss Mardigan near the inside and showing speed out in the centre there. Is Sure Money driving through Amber's Wish on the inside. They were followed by Murdon trying to sweep around the outside up towards the lead now. Getting up on the inside would have been Alice Toy. Deeper on the track there, the favourite Redcliffe Rebel. It's about fourth the outside, five off the lead, but very wide out from Miss Mardigan. And Tarliff, then Sure Money and Pepper A in the straight. It's Murdon on the inside, the leader. Amber's Wish coming down the outside. Murdon clear though. Murdon won the first. Amber's Wish second. Third Alice Toy, followed then by Redcliffe Rebel. A break there to Miss Mardigan. They were followed then by Pepper Ayat near the tail. Just going over the line, there would have been Sure Money. And the time race one showing around 25.82.
And 5.32 numbers. 5 Murdon, 4.50, $1.04. 3 Amber's Wish at 1.90. And the 2 Els Toy in third position at 3.40 after race number one from Ballarat. We'll continue our chat of the weekend's trot action. We're analysing the program of racing. Of course, the big program that was set down for Ballarat on Saturday night with the running of the Cup. And we're now up to race number six, which was a heat of the Victoria Derby. And this one, as expected, Spankham.
It was. It's going to be hard to line all these horses up before the barrier draw because, as I sort of mentioned earlier, it is going to be crucial. But Spankham, I don't think Mark Purden believes there's a lot between he and the Devil's Own, who we spoke about earlier being three wide through the latter stages of the first Derby heat. Well, in the second Derby heat, Spankham drew the pole and was allowed to lead. They did pressure him to some degree. The Brooklyn Brawler came over and had a look from out wide and they put some speed into it early, but Spankham was able to hold up relatively comfortably, and from there it was probably on his racket, the race. They went through a first quarter of the final mile in 32.5, second quarter of 30.5, and he just sprinted up a controlled 28 third quarter, then 27.4 home. So he was too strong for them. He probably had a little bit left in hand. We didn't learn much about him, despite, I guess, seeing him for Australia in the first time. Cote Bailey ran off the Breeze horses back late to snatch second, beaten 3 metres and comfortably held, but his effort was still quite good. Cote Bailey for a horse that's still learning. The Brooklyn Brawler is the horse that I think will go around over the odds in the Derby. Now, he does probably need to draw a barrier, but he showed good gate speed there. He worked off the gate. He was left exposed the entire race, and he still battled on really strongly to only be beaten 3 metres on the line. So he was 40-1 there. I'd just keep an eye on the Brooklyn Brawler. Pending barrier draw for the Derby final at sort of a place bet type option. Major Times will no doubt improve for that run. Was first up, hit the line really strongly, and he's definitely somewhere in the mix. Yankee Roll is an interesting test case. He got a bit fired up. He was sort of dodging and weaving at the top of the straight, looking for runs that didn't ever appear. He was only beaten 4.6 metres, but you probably would have expected him to be hard up on Spankham's back at the end. He wasn't, so I guess he's going to be a sort of an X-factor question horse heading into next week. There may be a little bit left to come from him, but we're not really going to find out until post-Derby final. Not a lot to report from the others, really. So, Yankee Roll, he'll probably be sweating on getting a run, to be honest. He might be the emergency, he might not. But, the top four, I think Spankham, did as he probably pleased in front, and all three of the next that go into the final definitely had merit to their efforts.
We clear the totes now. Ballarat, 5.32 and 8. Number 5, Murdon, 4.50, $1.04. 3 Amber's Wish, 1.90. 2 Els Toy, 3.48. 4th Quinella, 15. Exacted, 25.20. Trifecta, 143.20. And the first four, $328.20. Following the running of race number 1. Well, we now talk about the big one of the night, the Petstock Ballarat Pacing Cup, and of course we did have the scratching of Vincent, which did change the market somewhat with the early fave coming out, but it was left up to Heaven's Rocks, Lenny the Shark, Shadow Sacks to pretty much fight the finish out with Heaven's Rocks and Lenny the Shark really having a good clash down the straight.
Yeah, they did, and it didn't look like it was going to eventuate at the top of the straight, but Lenny really lifted late. He was the heavily backed runner. He was $6.50 or thereabouts through most of the day, but he was into sort of $3.90 or $3.80 at jump time. So punters went with the known commodity, I guess, the class runner for Victoria in the betting, but Heaven Rocks was able to hold the early challenge. That's where all the eyes were, to be honest. They were expecting, or people were talking about whether he could pace cleanly heading up to the start. He'd been on the unruly for a long time in New Zealand. He hadn't been asked to run the gate for a long time, but he scored up well enough. He got up to the gate at the right time, and he was able to hold any early challenge from Shadow Sacks and Major Secret. So from that point onward, the $2.10 probably went straight into $1.70 in play, you'd have to say, as soon as he held the front. And from there, he didn't cop a whole heap of pressure. He ran time. He went 155.9 for the mile rate. He ran every quarter of the final mile in under 30 seconds, in under 29 seconds, in fact. So he was definitely running through that last lap and a bit, and he was able to hold his rivals at bay. He didn't look totally foolproof when Shadow Sacks pulled out of the one-by-one and went up and tested him at the 400 or 500-metre mark. He got a bit proppy and a bit choppy in his action, Heaven Rocks, but he was able to stay in gate, and he got around that big final bend, and he booted away again. Lenny the Shark, who was drawn behind him. Terrific drive from Chris Alford. All credit goes to him for nearly pinching the race. He was off Heaven Rocks back early in the score-up. Once he sort of saw that Heaven Rocks was going to be able to boot through and hold the lead, he quickly drove through underneath other horses to not lose that position behind the leader. And then he was able to get off at the right time at the top of the straight. And as I said, he was a fair way off Heaven Rocks at the top of the straight, but that last 50 metres, he really launched Lenny, and I think that put aside any queries that anyone had coming out of the Inter-Dominion, where perhaps just the way the races were run, he wasn't on the pegs there, he wasn't up cutting the breeze in the final, just didn't suit him around Gloucester Park, but he may well still be as good as he's ever been. We just hadn't had a chance to see it, so we'll learn more about him and where he's at right here, right now in the Hunter Cup next week. Or in a couple of weeks' time, he may even go around this week in a free-for-all, who knows, but his effort was terrific, first time back in Victoria. Shadow Sacks, his run had merit, he was beaten 8 metres in the end, but, you know, he went up and tested Heaven Rocks, and he still stuck on quite well, so he definitely is starting to step up to this level. He may need, you know, one or two more runs to absolutely peak or a good barrier draw to be a competitive winning chance in a Hunter Cup, but he's certainly getting there, and of the others, Mr. Wickham, the faithful, they were, you know, not beaten out of sight, and there was a good gap back to the rest. But Heaven Rocks, I think everyone knows he's got the ability. Everyone knows that on his night he can test perhaps even Lazarus. He hasn't quite had his night as often as the past in the last year or so, but that was a good, strong win and an ominous sign heading into the Hunter Cup in a couple of weeks.
We now look at another heat of the Victoria Derby, and this was won by Lumineer, who started about $1.04.
Yeah, I find it really hard to get a guide on him. He showed his gate speed, which we saw in the OPG final last season, so that was back, and I guess a bit of a warning shot to his rivals heading into the Derby final this week. If he draws a barrier draw, you'd think he's going to be firing off the arm and having a look for the front, but he was able to do that on Saturday night in the final of the Derby heats. He sort of got a breather at some stage, that 31.5 first quarter of the final mile, before he went through a second quarter of the final mile in 30 seconds flat, and then he really ripped home 27.6 and 27.7. Now, Maritai was a super effort, sat park the whole trip, was only, or worked to park anyway in the middle stages, and was only beaten 3 metres on the line. He stuck on really well. Tam Major didn't have the clearest of passages from behind the leader. Wasn't beaten far. Little Peanut was next, and then there was a good gap back to the rest. Lumineer's the most interesting runner to me. He's got the biggest hype of any runner heading into the Derby final. I wouldn't say I've knocked him, but I've certainly been slow to jump aboard him in terms of the hype train. But look, he probably halfway up the straight, I thought he didn't have a lot left in the locker, and then right on the line, I thought he had plenty left in the locker. So I still can't get a strong guide on exactly where he's at. He's going to make for a terrific Derby final heading into this week, but you know, on face value, he's probably going to start favourite pending draws. Poster Boy, the clear and present threat to him, but I think given the fans he's already enacted Lumineer, I'd say he'll probably start favourite. Maratai, Tam Major, both the other two that if they had soft runs in a Derby final, you could see being competitive, I guess. But Lumineer definitely the top seed from heat number three.
The ninth race was won by Jillaby Kung Fu.
Yeah, he was able to lead early, hold the lead. He was first up from a break, but he was clearly pretty fit. Didn't want to allow his major danger and race favourite, Our Little General, to find the lead. And look, there hadn't been a lot between them as three-year-olds. Jillaby Kung Fu and Our Little General, with the advantage of the inside running, that's probably what made the difference for Jillaby Kung Fu. Our Little General looked probably half gone at the top of the straight after having to cut the breeze the whole race. But he actually did stick on really well that last 50. No better time, just nudged him for second. But Our Little General, I wouldn't totally discount him heading into the four-year-old bonanza this week. He's going to need a barrier draw, but he's definitely one of the top seeds. I think if you wanted to follow something outside of the obvious on the night, because there are obviously a lot of horses that are going into better class races, Big Bang Leonard was rushing home late at 50-1. He was only beaten 4 metres, 4 or 5 metres, and I can see him winning wherever he goes in a little bit of a softer C4 or C5 race. So Big Bang Leonard outside of the big guns is the horse that I'd be following out of race 9.
And then we go race 10, where Manganello was able to win here, the favourite.
Yeah, he was probably expected to race to the lead, and that's why he started favourite at $2.50 or thereabouts. Once he did find the top, he was always going to be hard to run down. They only went a mile rate of 159.2, so it was a pretty cosy lead time and first quarter for him, 33.4 that first quarter, and then he really controlled it through even the second and third quarters before ripping home that final fraction. Rock and Roll Trapple, the main danger, ended up in a somewhat awkward position, ran on late, but probably had every chance in the end. Pocket the Deal ran third, and the others just sort of didn't have much go their way, or the race didn't pan out to suit them. So, you know, you'd be willing to forgive most of the others that were beaten behind Manganello in a race that that probably just panned out to his favour.
And we had a great race on Friday night, the WA Pacing Cup, worth $450,000 in the West, and it was won by Soho Tribeca.
It was. He hadn't had much go his way in all the big races, probably through the last month, a couple of months, the Inter Dominion and Co. When it got to the big time, he didn't draw to favour, and things didn't pan out for him. But this was a race where Kim Prentice was able to drive him to be aggressive, I guess, stay in front of his major danger in Chicago Bull early. And from there, once he found the breeze and Chicago Bull came around the field, it was relatively plain that he was going to be finding the front. It was a good, strong, aggressive drive. Again, we've spoken about horses that are able to lead around Gloucester Park. Not as big an advantage, certainly no advantage, really, in terms of winning chances in big races there. It can often bring you unstuck, being in front on the pegs at Gloucester Park over the staying trip in big races. But this was a race where he was able to find the front. He was able to catch a breather, Soho Tribeca, and he just raced away from Chicago Bull in the lane, who stuck on really well and was brave enough. The Bucket List ran a cheeky race in third, and basically everything else finished within sort of 6 metres of each other, so hard to get a line on the rest of them. But Soho Tribeca was a really strong, deserved winner of a big race in Perth, and now he'll come to Victoria for Mick Stanley will now train him. Greg Sugars will drive him through the Hunter Cup in a couple of weeks' time, and then on to the Miracle Mile. So we'll get another chance to look at Soho Tribeca, who was ultra-dominant through the Vic Bred Super Series last season, and he just keeps taking that step, as we saw through the Inter Dominion. So, as I said, a deserved win in WA's biggest standalone race, I guess, outside of the Inter Dominion, and we get to see a bit more of him in the coming weeks heading over east for the Hunter Cup and, as I said, some big races.
Definitely. Blake, thank you for that. We'll talk more on Gate Speed tomorrow.
No worries. Thanks, Nads.